The annual Port Moeller test fishery wrapped up 4 days early this year and was plagued by bad weather. The final interpretation of the data from the test fishery was released early last week. The interpretation was put together by a data analyst for the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute, which runs the test fishery. Scott Rayburn says the 2013 sockeye run was the earliest on record for both the inshore run to Bristol Bay and through the area fished as part of the test fishery. The run was about 6 to 8 days early inshore and about 7 to 8 days early through the test fishery area. He asserts that the early run made it difficult to use the data generated from the test fishery this year.
Each year, the confounding question is, when you get large catches in early in the season, is the run early or is it larger than you expect? Either one of those could account for larger catches early in the season. And this year, early, we seem to get catches early at Port Moeller and then catch an escapement, started climbing more rapid than we've ever seen. And we didn't know early on whether it was large or early. And as it turns out, it was the earliest on record. And this year, Port Moeller did indicate that. Port Moeller catches increased early on and then peaked early, declined. And I suspect Port Moeller would have indicated that last peak of fish that peaked on July 15th. But we got weathered out for 4 days in a row, starting on June 29th, and didn't get to fish again until July 3rd. And that little window, missed window, seems to line up with that second, that last mode of fish that showed up in shore.
The catches as part of the Port Moeller test fishery peaked on the 21st of June. Normally catches peak somewhere around June 29th. The early catches resulted in the cumulative Port Moeller traditional index being the highest on record through the 22nd of June. However, by the 1st of July, the index number dropped below the average. The data shows that total catch and escapement in Bristol Bay peaked around June 30th. That's about 8 days earlier than normal. This year was the third year the test fishery was conducted using what is called the replacement net, which includes alternating panels of 5 1/8-inch mesh and 4 1/2-inch mesh. In the past, the 200-fathom net just included 5 1/8-inch mesh panels. Rayburn notes that some of the age groups were overrepresented in this year's catch.
The Port Moeller test fishery is not exactly perfectly representative of what happens inshore. Before we switched to the replacement net, part of that reason was due to size selectivity. We were only fishing one mesh, and that mesh tended to sample three ocean fish more so than two ocean fish. So, in general, two ocean fish were underrepresented, three upper fish were overrepresented at Port Moeller. So we went to the replacement net, and it seems that doing that largely removed the size selectivity component of Port Moeller. However, it doesn't remove all of the bias from Port Moeller because certain stocks may be more vulnerable to the Port Moeller test fishery than others. For instance, I doubt that we miss any eugastric fish beyond the outer station, whereas we likely miss some Nushagat fish beyond Station 10. And across years, the percentage of fish that we miss probably varies. So on any given year, the stocks vary with respect to their vulnerability, and then that changes from year to year. So all of that can cause certain ages to be more or less vulnerable at Port Moeller.
The data indicates that the age composition estimates from the test fishery overrepresented age 1, 2, and 1, 3 sockeye while underrepresenting age 2, 3 fish. One of the most valuable data sets that comes from the Port Moeller test fishery are the genetic stock composition estimates that allow fishermen, processors, managers, and others to gauge what stocks are represented in a particular catch at Port Moeller and where those fish are headed. This year, the genetic information from Port Moeller tracked closely to what showed up inshore, but the data did overrepresent the eugastric stock by about 3% and underrepresent the fish headed to the Nushagak and Wood Rivers by about 5%. Some of the theories floating around about why this year's run was so early are focused on differences in water temperature and the impact of water temperatures on salmon migration. Rayburn stresses that how temperatures affect travel time remains poorly understood.
What we believe to be true is that the warmer the water temperatures, the faster salmon swim, and the cooler they are, the slower they swim. That can affect the timing of the run, and it can also affect the travel time between Port Moeller and inshore. That's what we believe to be true. However, when you try to use temperature to explain a lot of the noise in the correlation between port mullet and inshore, it doesn't seem to clean up very much. Some, but not what to the extent you would expect. That said, when you see extreme temperatures, it seems to be consistent with longer travel times for cooler temperatures and shorter travel times for warmer temperatures. And this year, it seems that when you try to correlate port mullet with the inshore run, early on, a shorter travel time seems to line the peaks up. But then that last mode of fish works better if you have a longer travel time. So you have the travel time changing throughout the season, and that's consistent with warmer temperatures early on, reaching about average midway, and then cooler than average temperatures by the end of the season. So we can't say definitively that temperature is what caused that, but it's certainly consistent.
This year's port mullet test fishery got started on the 10th of June and wrapped up on the 6th of July. The fishery is run by the Bristol Bay Science and Research Institute with cooperation from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. BBSRI is a subsidiary of the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation. You can find all of the updates and the other data that came out of this year's test fishery on the website of the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association at bbrsda.com. In Dillingham, I'm Mike Mason.